perfect for us short Mexicans. We're all right. You mind if I come down there? Y'all all right? Can I come down here? All right. I see y'all pretty laxed around here, and I appreciate that. Amen. It's a Saturday afternoon. I appreciate that you can tell the committed that are willing to come whenever God gets ready to open the doors. Amen. We ought to be running. Every time God opens the doors, we ought to come running into the house of the Lord. Amen. Because it's our refuge. It's our place where we stand with God in the body of believers. And that's where God begins to speak and do great things amongst his body. Amen. And can I tell you something? Everybody's important. Amen. Our women's director and that works with us busted her knee. She had to have surgery. And boy, you don't know how important them ligaments are. You can't see them, but you sure need them. Twist one, mess one up, and you can't get to your destination the proper way with the speed that God wants you to and at the time in God. Are y'all listening to me today? So it's important that we have the body of Christ working together. There's some people that are good up front. There's some people that are good behind the scenes. Amen. There's some folks that are supposed to be behind the scene trying to be in the front. And some people trying to be in the back that's supposed to be in the front. Are you with me today? And so if you'll just let God be God in your life, you don't have to promote yourself. God will promote you if you want to call it a promotion. Amen. Amen. The minute that you gave your life to Jesus, you were promoted and seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. Amen. Isn't that some good news? Isn't that good news? And too many of us focus on our condition than our position. Amen. We're going to get Pentecostal in here a little bit. But just don't go tell Brother Butch, all right? Pastor's saying, no. Everybody's looking. Ellen's going, no. Don't do it. I love Alan. That's what's so awesome about the body of Christ, man. We're just all different. Amen. You know, I love to go. Let me tell you something. I love to go to predominantly African-American churches because, man, if you have a problem preaching, you won't have a problem preaching when you get in there, brother. Are you hearing me? They will make you. I had a lady get up and say, preach, boy. I said, man, what do you think I'm doing up here? Lady, I'm about to kill myself trying to preach. Man. They'll get you to preaching, brother. I'm serious. I'm so blessed to be here today. I thought my wife is very busy, so I'm not going to be able to thank her for 21 years today of being my wife. Amen. So today's our anniversary. I thought she was going to be here. She don't like to come to the front. Now, maybe she'll come in and stroll in a little bit. We've got plans. Amen. So I'm going to try to be quick. Amen. All right. Well, I just want to share with you some things that are going on with SOS Ministries and what we're doing. SOS Ministries, we're just a ministry. We're not a church, though. There's a lot of people that consider us a church to them. I don't consider myself a pastor, but I am pastoring a lot of people. I want to pastor the unchurched. They're sheep without a shepherd. Amen. We have church before church, getting them used to getting connected with the church. Amen. Getting connected in the body of Christ, not just to be productive members of society, but productive members of the kingdom of God. Amen. Because there's some people out here smoking dope that are supposed to be on a worship team, but they don't know it because the church hadn't come out to tell them. Because we're too busy pointing fingers. All right. I mean, we've got a thing at SOS Ministry. If you can't say amen, say ouch. We understand. And so SOS Ministries Awareness Month is in April. And starting with April 11th, some of you got the handouts. I want you to go with us there just to kind of check it out. Holy Smoke Barbecue. Amen. We called it Holy Smoke. It was a competition for a while. Living Hope one time won. Competition a little bit, but we got too tired of competing because we compete too much as it is in the church. Amen. But we had a great time. It was really to bring awareness to the city and the problems that were going on and how the church needs to be involved. But we're having it at Bryan High Silver Campus, some great barbecue, knee-slapping barbecue, you know what I'm talking about, stuff that is good. Please come out and support. Anybody wants to help, that's how we do our fundraisers. Also, April 1st, I believe, is a spoons. Anybody like spoons? I need my cheaters. Are you all right? Don't laugh. You get 40, you'll start going there. Amen? So College Station location, Spoons fundraiser, April 1st from 12 to 2 p.m., 2 hours. Also, Chick-fil-A, Spirit Night, April 14th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Bryan location by Walmart, in front of all Walmart. Also, the Joe Conway Memorial 5K Run, April 24th, 8 a.m., 11 a.m. Listen, I ran that thing. I paid for it for about a month, but I ran it. I ran it, and the man up, it really frustrated me because, you know, Alan's wife was way over there. I'm like, man, I can't let that girl beat me. And I'm like, forget that girl. Go. Go, girl. And I finished it running. It didn't help my back. Didn't help my back any, but I did it. Amen. Pray for me this year again, and I don't pull anything. All right? Baskin Robbins fundraiser. We had a great time April 19th last year, 6 to 10 p.m. All certain proceeds of your ice cream that you purchase will come to SOS Ministries, so please be a part of that. Chick-fil-A also, again, on the 26th, 5 to 9. But I came to really to talk to you about hit and runs. We go through a neighborhood and hit them with the gospel and run to the next one and hit them with the gospel and run to the next one. You got to be careful because I go through certain searches, and especially if they're in the city and I say hit and run, they're like, what? Who you done hit and run? And so what we want to do is, what we do is we try to canvas the community for which we go to and just really minister to people and witness and bring out flyers. And then we have rappers and Christian rappers and music, and we just get a great presentation of the gospel, and then we give people an opportunity. Also, we give away free sausage and barbecue and stuff, just some sausage on a stick or whatever, and we give it away and gather people around. And we've had such an awesome experience in those things. As a matter of fact, several years ago, we've been in the neighborhood over there, Jordan Loop, since we started SOS Ministries, and we've never stopped going there. And 1 year, you know, when you have kids, when you have food and drinks, you'll see the kids will come from everywhere. But you don't see any adults, too many adults. And so I was really praying, and none of the adults really were coming around. I went on ahead and gave the gospel presentation. You notice these little kids don't have a problem coming to the gospel. They come to it as quickly as possible, as quickly as they can, most of them. And I was praying. I'm like, why aren't the adults? And you notice in some of those neighborhoods, there's not very many men. We don't have a gang problem. We don't have a drug problem. We have a man shortage. Our homes have been broken up. And so we don't have no men speaking and affirming young ladies and young men, so they're grappling in the darkness looking for who they are. And so we try to go speak into their life, and I gave the gospel presentation, didn't see hardly any adults. I'm going, there's got to be some men around here, and I didn't know who, if they were listening, but we turn it up. We crank it loud. If you didn't hear it, it's going to come to you somewhere. You can hear it all the way on down in the middle lane. You know, you're going to hear it. Make them call the law on us. We'll shut it down when they come, but right now, we're going to blast it right now. Amen? Because we want every ear to hear. Amen? And it's just not about us being known. And as I gave the gospel presentation, I said, if you want to come to Jesus, and the kids flocked the front. There was about four guys that were, I didn't know it, from different homes. One jumped the fence with a baby in his hand. Jumped the fence to come give his life to the Lord. And the four guys that I know, that were, a couple of them were not, I know one of them was a drug dealer, the other ones were involved in gangs. So the awesome thing is when we share the good news with a loving heart, and especially when they see black people and white people and Hispanic people all saved, loving the same Jesus, going out and loving them with the same love that God first loved us. Man, there's so much power in that. It's unbelievable. So I urge you, there's a sign-up sheet behind you, and I'm going to go over where we're the different locations where we're going to be in. Okay? It's on there. April 9th, we're going to be at MLK. So just look down there towards Carver and Kemp, that area. Just come if you want to sign up, be a part, be a witnessing too. We also need, listen, somewhere evangelism and prayer got a divorce. We pray, but we don't evangelize. We're in a hurry to go evangelize, but we don't pray. Praying prepares the ground and the soil so the seed can be planted. Amen? And so we need some people that are praying, come to that area and do some. We do walk-bys. We don't do drive-bys. We do walk-bys. Go to the neighborhood and just pray over the homes and pray over the hearts, like, that the enemy would release those hearts that are bound. Okay? So we need prayer partners. We need people that pass out flyers that aren't afraid, that will go witness to people, pray for people. There's some people that would come to where we're at, but some of them are in wheelchairs or can't get out or whatever. Those people need to be ministered to. We knock on doors, give them flyers, and say, hey, we're going to be down here, free food. You'd be surprised. Last year, we did one over on Crystal Brook, and it just really surprised me of some of the things that were happening. A lady called me from New York and said she had a friend that she had been praying for and saw us in the neighborhood over here. I said she had been witnessing to a friend, and she was praying, and she heard some guy talking about being on drugs and alcohol, some ponytail dude, she told him. And she was all the way in New York. She goes, that's got to be JJ. Ain't too many ponytail, bald-headed preachers around here. And so it was awesome to be able to witness to her and lead her to the Lord. She was about to walk away, and she knew she needed. She had four kids. She was down on her luck, and just some things were going wrong. And God, so it's an awesome thing, hit and run. So come with us. April 16th, we'll be in Saddlewood. These are all right around here, too. Gaynor on the 23rd, and April 30th, Jordan Loop. All right, so there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up. Let's get together. Let's pray. Let's go out and witness together and preach together. Amen? And serve our community together. Amen? Anything else I left out? Anybody with me? Amen. Okay, that's enough of all that. Can we get to the word? Yeah. Amen. What I've came for. Let's bow our heads. And can I pray for a minute? Father, we thank you tonight. And Lord, we just ask for your presence, God, in this place. Lord, I'm reminded of the scripture and Psalms that say, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed a prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And so we have the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to take you to an excerpt in there where it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'm ready for the kingdom to come to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen? A lot of us don't realize it. Some of us get too mystical. Some of us get too spiritual that we're no earthly good. And some of us are afraid of... Are y'all listening to me? Amen? Is this thing on? And the subtitle is Attracting the Presence of God. Being a presence-based church. You know you are the church. This building is where we come to worship. This isn't the church. You're the church. Amen. And I want his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that we're in trouble in America. We don't have to take you to school to show you that. You know that by looking around. We're in trouble in the world around us. Everything is going on. But you know what? Some people are afraid and freaking out. And the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them from that kind of, have heart attacks from that fear. We're living in those troubled times that the Bible talks about. We're there. The writing is on the wall. Amen. That's when the church arises. That's it's the driest times that bring the sweeter rain. It's when the light shines brighter in darkness. Amen. When it's dark and it's bleak, you know, they're saying they're trying to shut us down. Shut us down. You can't shut God down. Shut us down. Are we going to take your tax-exempt status away from you? Take it away from me. God don't need a tax-exempt status. He's always paid for what he needed to pay for. Come on, somebody. He paid it in full 2,000 years ago. We don't need no tax-exempt status. Amen. We depend on government way too much. Too many breaks and too many things. Big government. We're seeing it go on today. Are you listening to me? I want to be a person that attracts the presence of God. I want to be a church, and I want my church to be a place that attracts the presence of God. Because we need the presence of God more than we need anything. And we don't need homiletics, and we don't need all. And that stuff is good to know and to learn, and that's okay. But what we truly need is the presence of God. I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute. And so many of us are worried about what we have and what we don't have versus realizing what we can have. With the presence of God, that's all you need. Are you hearing me? I don't need a whole lot of stuff. I swear, I wanted to get an education. I wanted to get a ring from Texas A&M. And God said, I'm not going to let you get a ring, Jay. And I said, why not? Because you'd worship that ring instead of me. I want to do it in ways that are different than anywhere else sometimes. Are you hearing me? That's why I love the way Butch is doing what he's doing and creating locations and doing different things and mobilizing people to go out and share the good news. Because we need some good news, because everything we've been looking at has been bad news. We can't send our kids. When I was a kid, I used to come all the way from the east side and go all the way and sneak into Texas A&M games. With the core. I used to get in between the core and run in there with it. Sneak in. Serious? That's a fact. And one time they came and they put it on TV. I got a whooping because I came out on TV. My parents saw me on TV. I got a whooping. Boy, what are you doing way over there? By yourself. I was 10 years old. You can't let a 10-year-old go half a block these days because what kind of times are we in? I need the presence of God in my life. I need to teach my children to be an attraction of the presence of God. I always tell young people all the time, what you dress like is what you'll attract. You want to dress like a hoochie mama, you're going to get a thug. Am I helping anybody today? What's a hoochie mama? You don't want to know. If you don't know, you don't want to know. You put your stuff on. I tell young ladies all the time, do you want somebody to want you for what you have or who you are? Cover yourself up when you come to church, please. Help a brother out. Are y'all with me today? Attracting the presence of God. It's important that we attract the presence of God. Psalm 16:11 says this, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So when we go into these neighborhoods, when we go do what God has called us to do, what do we need the most of? Because they need to be free. And the Bible says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When you bring the presence of God, there's freedom to what? To worship God, to come unto God. Nothing can hold them back. Amen. They don't understand what it's like to worship God, and so they don't understand the presence. But let me tell you something, even the darkness understands the light, and it's got to yield to the light. And so what we need is the presence of God, and so many times we just go out there in the flesh. No attraction. What if Jesus were to come on this earth, whose church in Bryan, Texas, and walk down South College and all down 6, whose church would he go to? Some folks seem to think because they got nice cathedral ceilings and all this nice, pretty crystal everything, and that Jesus is coming there. You'll be surprised where you hang out at. Are y'all listening to me today? And when the presence comes, there's liberty. God can do far more in 5 seconds than when it took us a lifetime to try to change. His presence in a moment can change anything and any environment, anywhere, anytime, any place. But so many of us sometimes are afraid because of what we've seen in America. American Christianity has given Christianity a really bad name. Because sometimes we go too far this way and we go too far this way in the middle. And so many of us are afraid because we don't know what the presence is going to do. Because we saw some people say that the presence of God is evidence of speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And they're jumping all over the place and they're doing all this stuff. I don't want to be like that. And so we're afraid of it. Am I helping anybody yet? I can tell the truth because I don't have a church. And if you don't ask me back, it's okay because my pulpit is the streets. It's not in the church. I didn't come to impress nobody. I didn't come to entertain nobody. I don't look good with skirt and pom-poms. Believe me. Amen. Believe me. I entertained 3 people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? That's what my strong heart is. Amen? God is more interested in what he can do in you than what you can do apart from yourself. Is this good stuff for you so far? Amen. The Bible says that the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What everyone needs is the presence of God. There are 3 things that you can get guaranteed when the presence of God is there. Amen. There are 3 great things. First of all, there's joy. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Amen. People didn't understand me when I had some guys that were, just got saved, and they're out there witnessing, and they didn't understand what it meant to get high on the Most High. I said, man, when you really get the presence of God and get that joy, it replaces the alcohol. It replaces the drugs. It replaces everything that you've been trying to fill your life with. You've been trying to fill it, put a square peg in a round hole. And when you put the Holy Spirit there and the presence of God, then you're truly filled. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And that's what the enemy tries to come get, is the presence of God out of your life. Because he knows that the presence of God in his presence is fullness of joy. And he wants to steal your joy because he knows that if he takes your joy, he can take your strength. There's a whole lot of folks coming to church with no joy. Am I helping anybody? Everything's going crazy. Why are you so happy? Because I got Jesus in my life. I've got the presence. Man, it's just everything's bad news. I'm broke, busted, and disgusted, but I can still smile because I got my daddy who provides for everything in my life. I need the presence of God because it's my joy. Joy is different than happiness. If I give you $50, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be happy, wouldn't you? If I gave everybody in here $50, you see all them people on Oprah when she gives them something, they go crazy. I go crazy. Man, Oprah, you can keep your stuff. I need Jesus. I want the presence of God. It ain't all in the stuff. If I gave you $50 right now, you'd be every single one of you walk out here with a big old smile. But if all of y'all went to Walmart, what happened to you? What happened to your happiness? What happened to your joy? What happened to it? It just, because I can't go to Walmart without spending $50. Matter of fact, my wife said, you don't go by yourself no more. I'm going with you. What did you spend $100 and something on? Stuff we need around the house. We didn't need all that. That's too much money. Am I helping anybody yet? There's joy. Can I tell you something else? There's power in the presence of God. The Bible says in Psalms 97:5 that the hills melt like wax in the presence of God. Anybody got any hills and mountains in your life? All it takes is the presence of God and they melt like wax. Maybe you've been given a bad report. I need the presence of God. The Bible says, whose report shall you believe? The Bible, says that I shall believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says, I'm free, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? There's power when you have the presence of God in your life. Amen. You know, the last thing that I've figured out is there's freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. I don't know about you, but I need some freedom in my life. I need to be free. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit comes and the presence of God comes to give you freedom from sin, not to sin. Amen, somebody. Some of us think that we got the presence of God. I can do whatever I want to. I'm saved and always going to be saved, and I can do whatever I want to. Well, that's where the presence of God says, see you later. And I don't know about you. I need the presence of God to raise my children. I need the presence of God to make it in this earth. I need the presence of God everywhere I go. I need the presence of God. Are you somebody that attracts the presence of God? Are we as a body a people that attract the presence of God? Are we afraid of the presence of God or what that might mean? Let me tell you something. When the presence of God comes, it changes everything. And so many of us, we're a people that likes to have everything, all our ducks in a row, and everything's got to be this way. And if it's not this way, and God can't come, and he can't, am I helping anybody in here? I got to have my makeup on just right and every hair in place. When the presence of God comes, can I tell you something? He'll mess all your makeup up. Your mascara will be running down. All you sophisticated fellas got all your hair all in a nice place. The presence of God come, it'll mess that stuff up. Amen. I got to be cool because I can't let nobody know that I'm sensitive. So we can't give God no praise when his presence comes. Am I helping anybody today? Oh, it's getting crazy in here. Amen? Attracting the presence of God. I'm going to give you five or six things that you're going to, that how you get the presence of God. Amen? Six things that attract the presence of God. That's just five or six things that I just God put dropped in my spirit. Amen? Are y'all ready? The first thing that it's going to take for us to attract the presence of God is humility. Being humble. I got to go to Indonesia in 2004 when the tsunami hit. And I was a guest speaker and some things in a big Transform World conference. And I got to sit in the room. I don't know if any of y'all have seen transformation videos. Listen, if you see those videos, you got to see the videos, because I can sit here and explain it to you. And y'all going to say, oh, Jay, man, you done flipped your wig. Man, that ain't happening. It's been documented scientifically, spiritually, and every which way of some power transformation of the entire Fiji has been totally transformed by the presence and the power of God. Entire ecosystems have come back. There's videos. You can check it out for yourself. These are people that had killed a missionary back in the 1700s, 1800s. And when the chiefs repented for their ancestors, the presence of God came in such a powerful way that now that guy, chief, has gone to different villages witnessing on horseback. This was just not too long ago. It's in 2000. They're still on horseback. Am I helping anybody? God wants to transform. And out of all those men, I got to be in the room with all these men. I was like, what am I doing in here? People from Cali, Colombia, from all over parts of the world. I was in a think tank for a whole week working with those people. And I felt like a little peon compared to what God was doing with those people. They shot a pastor in Cali, Colombia. The drug cartel killed a pastor. And out of that drug cartel killing that pastor, the city rose up and they had one of the largest, they had to rent a soccer stadium for a prayer meeting. Powerful things happening. But out of all these men, one of the strong characteristics about them was their humility, the genuine humility in their life. Humility attracts the presence of God. You know why? Because we read in James that he resists the proud, but he exalts the humble. Are you hearing what I'm talking about today? James 4 and 6. The Bible says that a contrite heart, God will not despise. A broken heart and a contrite heart, God will not despise. He'll not despise them. So I need humility in my life if I'm going to attract the presence of God. Amen? The second thing you're going to need is you're going to need faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, do you believe that God is still the God of the impossible? What's impossible with man is possible through God. Do you believe that? Anybody in here believe that? Anybody? Do I have about three people over here? Do I have five? Do I have six? Do I have seven? Anybody in here believe that? The Bible says it's impossible to please God. So if you don't have no faith, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it, but I know it's happening. I don't know that it's cold outside, but that wind, when I hit it, that wind is proof to me something's going on outside. If you didn't bring a jacket, you messed up. And if you're upset about the weather, it's Texas, down this far south, stick around, it'll change. Amen. Just 2 days ago, I was fishing with shorts. Here I am having to buckle up and put stuff on my fruit trees. I need faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to plead God, please God. And I'll give you an example. That woman with the issue of blood. Do you remember her? Do you remember her? Everybody had told her to go home and die. Go home and die. We can't do anything for you. There's another message that I preached on. God shows up when desperate folks show up. When I'm so desperate for God, how fast do you want to move in God is considered by your hunger level. Am I helping anybody? Are you really hungry for God? This woman with an issue of blood, she was freaking out. She didn't have nowhere else to go. She had left and went home, and they said, go home and die because we can't do nothing for you. And she heard that Jesus was passing by, and she got a gut full of faith, and she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. And see, back in that Eastern culture, women did not approach men. They still don't in these ages. But she had a gut full of faith and knew that it was Jesus, the Messiah. And she believed. That instant said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't even need to touch his body. I just need to touch God for just a second. Just if I can touch the hem, if I can just, and you got to understand his robe had tassels on it. She just touched the tassel. You can't really feel that. She said, if I can just get anywhere to touch God, I can touch him and I know I'm going to be healed. That faith, she crawled and made, I don't care how I get there, how I crawl there. I just got to get there because it's the faith. And all of a sudden, she touched the hem of his garment and it stopped Jesus dead in his tracks. It wasn't because he felt the touch, because he said, somebody touched me. And his disciples said, man, they're all around you. Man, people are touching you everywhere. They were crowding him. See, everybody wants to be around God and around churches where miracles will happen. But once the miracle, and a lot of times we're chasing miracles than we are chasing the presence of God. Am I helping anybody? And they were all pressing against him and dead in his tracks. Soon as she touched him, he couldn't feel that. She touched him and it wasn't the woman's touch. It was her faith. If you want to stop heaven, be desperate for God. Have the faith. You got to have faith. That attracts the presence of God. He stopped dead in his tracks and turned and told that lady, you've touched me. Go and behold. Because of her faith. If you really want to move heaven, it's faith. If you want to be an attraction of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God, have faith. Faith of things you can't see. Are you listening to me? I've preached for 16 years, ministered. I got tired. I even told God I was tired of telling my vision. I want you to tell the vision over here at this church. Man, them people ain't listening to me. They're looking at me like I'm like a raccoon looking at headlights. What is this guy talking about? He don't have no money. He don't have no education. He don't have no. I know what God told me. That thing came out of the ground by faith. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Didn't have no money. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's going to take humility. It's going to take faith to be an attraction to the presence of God. And it's in the presence of God that we're healed and we're delivered. And what this nation needs and what the White House needs is not for you to be chomping down on them with your mouth. They need the presence of God in the White House. From the White House and to the crack house too. Oh yeah. And the church house needs the presence of God. And so many times we go out without the presence. We go anywhere. I want your presence. Moses was so bold and said, we're not going to go unless your presence goes with me. Amen. The whole month of April, I'm praying, God, let your presence go with us. Because what they need, they don't need to see a show. They've been America's been entertained too much already. They don't need a show. They need your presence, God. And I want to be the person that attracts your presence. Amen? So it's going to take humility. It's going to take faith. It's going to take praise and worship. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Praise is praising him for what he's done. Worshiping is worshiping him for who he is. Amen. And the Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. I want to be a habitation, man. I don't want a visitation. I need a habitation, man. Just don't come visit. Come reside right here, right here. Are y'all hearing me today?
Jay, that's a little too Pentecostal for us.
It's just Bible. It's the truth. Amen. Praise and worship. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth that attracts the presence of God. Let me tell you something. When my wife tells me, boy, you bad. Boy, you preached the message the other night. Boy, man, it makes me want to swell up, boy. Ooh, boy, I want to lose weight and everything, boy. Makes me want to provide for her. Makes me want to be her everything. You know what I'm saying? Because she's praising me for who I am, make building me up. And when you begin to praise God, how much more will he come down when he hears his children say, man, they're praising me. That's when he comes down and said, I'm going to pick that person right out of that situation. And whatever struggle there is, because it's a sacrifice of praise. Even when I'm down, even when I'm hurting, that's what you call a sacrifice of praise. Praise him anyway. Give him worship. Kneel down and worship him because he's worthy to be worshipped. That attracts the presence of God. Humility, faith, praise and worship. True praise and worship. Not because we play the guitar fine. Not because we play real good. Not because we sing in octaves never heard of before. It's the true worship of a person's heart that attracts the presence of God. Are y'all hearing me today? It's true worship that attracts the presence of God. Make no mistake about it. If we're going to win this city, if we're going to win this country, if we're going to win this world, it's going to take the presence of God. We got to quit doing it on our own strength. That's why we get tired and angry and frustrated. It's because we're doing it under our own strength. Are y'all hearing me today? We're trying to make things happen instead of letting the Holy Spirit let it make happen. Are y'all with me today? Amen? The other thing that it's going to take is loving your neighbor as you love yourself. The disciples all told him. He told his disciples when they were sitting there. He told his disciples, listen, when I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I was sick, you came to tend to me. And the disciples freaked out and they said, Lord, we've never seen you like that. He said, when you've done it to the least of them, you've done it unto me. So we need to go to the poor and the hurting, the outcasts, the struggling. We've made church what we wanted. We've made church become our own comfort zone. We're comfortable and we're building everything to satisfy us. So we're comfortable. Not so somebody else can be comfortable. With the same comfort that you've been comforted, go comfort somebody else. And I don't know about you, but I know I was down and out and struggling on drugs. I didn't want to live this lifestyle. But it took somebody to come tell me that there's a concert over here. And I didn't know it was about Jesus. God was setting me up. I tell everybody all the time, touch yourself, touch your neighbor next to you and tell them it's a setup. Amen? So it's going to take loving your neighbor, going out and sharing, giving unto the Lord. Amen? The other thing that it's going to take is walking according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit, not my flesh. Romans 8 and 8 says you cannot please God. Walking by your flesh. Only by the Spirit of the Lord. And what is this? Spirit of the Lord. Some people have made it mystical and all this stuff. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit are what? That's when you know the Spirit of God is working through you, when you can have all those fruits hanging from your tree. Come on, somebody. We say we're walking in the Spirit of God, but we've got our nose turned up at folks that ain't as good as us. Or don't live in the same neighborhood we live in. Oh, we even got our nose turned up because they don't preach like we do and they don't believe like we do. Am I helping anybody today? Can't say amen, say ouch. Amen. The other thing that it's going to take is going to take obedience that attracts the presence of God. Being obedient to what God said. Quit lying on God.
Well, God said.
God never told you to do that. You're out there on your own because you're angry at somebody else because they're not doing it the way you want them to do it. Amen. Are y'all all right? We got churches popping up over everywhere. God never told half of them churches to pop up everywhere. They're just angry and they want to do it their way and nobody's listening to them sometimes. Now, if God told you to do it, then you, guess what? 20 years down the road, you're going to be right there, the same place, because God told you to do it. Let me tell you something about these streets. What we need is consistency down here, because nothing in their life is consistent. God forbid that say we love God and say we have God inside of us for us not to be consistent. We blow in, blow up, and blow out. I want them to get a hold of the presence of God. Lord, is your presence with me, in me, through me? Is your presence in this church? Because I want to take you. I won't go unless your presence goes with me. Because they don't need J.J. Ramirez. They don't need Living Hope Baptist Church. They need the presence of Almighty God. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? But us, as an agents, an attraction of the presence of God, come brings that as a corporate body. Am I helping anybody? Amen? Are you glad you came? The last thing that you need is, this is what attracts the presence of God, is holiness. Some of us have reduced holiness to Maybelline. Somebody knows what I'm talking about in here. If you know, you can't wear makeup and you can't wear, you know, hair long. And I had a young lady stop me in Walmart. And I could tell she had a long skirt. Long dress, and she just came up and she goes, "Hey, how you doing, Mr. Mayor?" And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing?" She's about 14, 15 years old. She said, "Are you still preaching?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. Sure am. Have I ever preached somewhere?" "Yeah, you preached at my church one time." "But I go to this church now." I said, "Oh, really?" She goes, "You mean to tell me that you're preaching with your hair like that?" It's a 14-year-old young lady. You know what I'm saying? I felt like telling her, "You don't know I'm from the hood, girl. I'll just... You don't even know." That's not a fruit of the Spirit, is it? And I just looked at her and said, "Are you serious?" I thought she was playing around. But she was very serious. She pulled out her little Bible and she quoted a scripture in Corinthians about men wearing their hair long. And I'm like, "She's serious." And I just let her go on. I said, "Okay, yeah, sure." And then she said, "Well, you know what, sweetheart? I try to be nice. I was nice." And I said, "Let me tell you something. God is not worried on what the outside of a person is. He's more concerned about the inside. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." I said, "And let me tell you something else. You see all these people in Walmart? Why ain't they in church? You know why? Because they've been there. And while me and you are arguing about what to wear and what not to wear, there's all these people probably dying and going to hell. And we ain't said a word to them." She just stayed quiet. I said, "Bless you. I love you. But I'm going to keep on preaching." Amen? Holiness. We've reduced it to something else. Some people say don't wear makeup. Girls ought not cut their hair. Guys should wear their hair. All this kind of stuff. I tell them, look, if they ever tell you not to wear deodorant, don't believe them. Whether you put makeup on or not, it's none of my business, but please wear deodorant. Please. Thank you. Girls shouldn't wear pants. They should wear skirts. Hey, that's fine. I mean, if that's cool with you, that's fine. But please put deodorant on. Help us out. Okay? Holiness. Romans 12 and 1. He said, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service." What does holiness mean? Finding fulfillment in moral dedication and life committed to purity in God. Holiness. What is it going to take? It's going to take faith. It's going to take humility. Holiness. Praise and worship. Obedience attracts the presence of God. How many in this room tonight would say, I want to be an attraction to the presence of God. Is there anybody in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you don't want to raise your hand, I'll raise mine for you. I want to attract the presence of God. When I worship God in spirit, listen, if you're waiting to come here on Saturday to worship God, you're way behind. You're way behind. You should have been worshiping God at home every day before you even get here. How many people really come to church and prepare their heart to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So many of us come here and we don't listen to half of what's going on or the presence of God, how thick it is, because our minds are still on sales at Dillard's. Oh, I got to go get this for the kids and I got to go do that for kids. We never prepare our hearts to worship God. A lot of us don't. If you do, maybe y'all are. But I know me as human, I have to check myself because I don't prepare my heart to get ready to worship God and to praise Him. Amen? So it's going to take humility. It's going to take faith. It's going to take praise and worship, loving your neighbor. It's going to take, or you can even put unity down there, holiness, obedience, and walking according to the Spirit. Amen? That attracts the presence of God. Amen? And I know what America needs today is not another church. It's not another ministry. It's the presence of God. That's what America needs today. That's what our politicians need today. Are you hearing? They need the presence of God. That because in the presence of God, it's subject. Everything is subject to change in a split second when the presence of God. So I want His kingdom to come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to make sure I'm attracting the presence of God and I'm not detracting the presence of God or having Him walk away from me because of my sin and because of the fruit of the Spirit is not operating in my life because I'm not operating in faith. Amen? Some of us are more worried about what we're looking like and if we're going to attract another person more than the presence of God. Why ain't married yet? Be single first. Love God first. Amen. And He'll bring the right one for you. Keep your eyes focused on God. Amen. The author and the finisher of your faith. And you'll be surprised. That person is sitting right next to you. You don't even know it. He's right in the same corner. She's right there. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? See, a lot of people come to church because they want to get the hookup. I want to marry me a godly man. Love God, and He'll give you a godly man. But don't come to church. Come to church because of the presence of God, not because you're trying to get the hookup. This ain't no club. We've made it into a club, though. Am I talking to anybody in here? Am I helping anybody? I know you, Alan might not ask me back anymore, but it's all right. I'll be out on the street corner preaching. Are you listening? So how many today would say, I want to be an attraction of the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody in here? Serious business. I know you raised your hand already. I want to pray. And I really want to believe that. And I want us to all walk in that. Because when we walk in that, let me tell you something. It won't be long that this city will be one to Him. Not to our ministries, not to our churches, but to His kingdom. Amen? Are you glad you came tonight? Did this help you? So I don't know what the proper protocol here is. And I just want to pray today for us all. And I'm not this big guru. I need you to pray for me too. So you're saying today, I want to be an attraction of the presence of God. Just lift your hands as you bow your head and close your eyes. You're saying, that's me, Jay. Would you pray for me? I want to attract the presence of God. I want to be a light in this dark world. If you've raised your hand, would you just stand right where you're at and we want to pray with you for you. Just stand. I want to attract the presence of God in my life. I want to be an attraction to the presence of God. Father, tonight, you see us here today. You had this night planned since the beginning of time for us to reconsider how we've been approaching you or not approaching you, for us to reconsider where we are with you, where we truly are. Not by our own religious mindset. Father, tonight I pray that you'd break every wall and room that we put you in. Because you're God all by yourself. And you can do more in 5 minutes than took us a lifetime to try to do. And tonight I pray for every single person, including myself, that we would be a people that would attract your presence. It's your presence that makes us beautiful. It's your presence that makes us holy. And God, we need your presence in this dark world.
Yes, God.
We stand together as a body tonight saying, would you change the leaders of this country, God? Would you let them experience your presence in a powerful, meaningful way? Right there in the White House, God. God, they're making decisions that are affecting our nation. We have made decisions that have affected our families. And those decisions, a lot of times, were apart from you and apart from your presence. God, would you forgive us? Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your presence tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray that every single person in this room would from this point on be an attraction to the presence of God. Fill them. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, your word said they'd be filled. Father, I pray that they'd hunger and thirst for your righteousness, not our own, not our religious righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for letting all of us be an attraction to your presence. Father, let us take this presence that you've given us into this dark and hurting world so that way your presence may change it forever and ever and ever. God, we can't do it by ourselves. We need your presence. We stand here as a corporate body saying, if your spirit, your presence does not go with us, we don't want to go. Whether we go to Haiti, whether we go to other parts of the world, or right here around this block, God, let your presence permeate from these people here tonight. All across, for blocks and miles from this church. And people would be attracted to your presence and your holiness and your truth. Lord, we love you. We give you praise for being here with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just real quick, fellas. My wife of 21 years walked in the room tonight, and I just want to tell her, happy anniversary, baby. Thank you for putting up with me for 21 long years. And I love you more than the day we said I do. I love you more today. Thank you for being my wife. God bless y'all. Thank you.
As we're going to sing, y'all respond. The altar's open. That was a powerful message we heard. So y'all respond as the Lord leads as we sing.
Gotta let go of all that you've given. If it meant that it all would be yours. Gotta Jesus.